Bags down, spikes on, welcome to the track. Hi, my name is Colin Waitzman, and I'm going to be your host for this episode of Track World News, presented by Track Barn. And today is the last episode of 8 Minutes in Eugene. We're finally wrapping this thing up with the final day, and man, oh man, did we go out with a bang. We had world records, we had crazy performances, back to back to back. We're gonna start with the 100 meter hurdles, we're then gonna go over to the 800, the 4x4, and the pole vault. You're not gonna wanna miss any of this, so let's jump right into it. So, we started off with a bang on the track with the 100 meter hurdles, where we got a world record right off the bat. So Toby Amusan out of Nigeria runs a world record with a time of 12.12 in the 100 meter hurdles. This was absolutely insane. She just looked so smooth, didn't knock over any hurdles, and in that performance, she actually had Kenny Harrison, who was also in that race, who is the former, well now, former world record holder in that, and she beat it by 0.08, a massive margin. It was crazy because in that entire performance, pretty much everybody either set a personal best, national record, season's best, whatever it was. And so there had been some people who had been questioning, hey, might have there been some type of issue with the timing system because everybody's setting national records. But overall, the times stand as of now, and they were really, really great. And that was just the semifinal. And so then going over to the final, it was a little bit windy, which stunk. It was a 2.5 wind, but we saw Toby Amusan coming back with another victory, winning the 100 meter hurdles final with a time of 12.06, which would have originally been a world record, but ended up not counting due to the time. So Toby looked really good. Once again, didn't knock over a single hurdle. And overall, just a really fantastic performance for her. Next, let's take a look at the women's 800 meters. And so over in the women's 800 meters, brings home the win, and it was not in your typical Athena fashion, where she's out front and then stays there and just presses and no one's even around her. It was an interesting race towards the end, because Keely Hodgkinson of Great Britain ended up challenging her in that last 100. And so, if you're looking at it, it's like, oh man, is Keely gonna end up beating Athena? Because remember, Keely came in second at the Olympics last year, and so I'm sure she was like, I wanna get my revenge, I wanna win this thing, but ends up, Athena just keeps pressing her out the way and ends up getting the win. She starts spreading at the last 10, 15 meters, but it was interesting on that last backstretch of the 800, because it's like, oh man, are we going to see an upset? And we didn't, but it was definitely a great performance, ending up running a 1:56 there. But really, really cool to see. We didn't see as great performances from Raven Rogers and Wilson, Ajay Wilson. Ajay ends up coming in last there. Not too sure what was going on. They just wasn't their day. Like, it's track and field. Sometimes it's going to be your day. Sometimes it's not going to be your day. And unfortunately, it wasn't their day. But yeah, 800 looked to be another star caliber race. And we thought that Athigmo was going to end up doing the 4x4. Turns out she didn't. There was announced though, she was trying to get ready for it. I'm guessing that it just was going to be a game time decision. And then probably at the last minute there, she was like, yeah, I'm just too tired. It's just not gonna work out. Let's switch it out. And so that's what they did. Ended up switching it out to the next race, the 4x4. And so, in the 4x4, we ended up getting, on the women's side, an interesting quartet there. So leading off, Talitha Diggs. Second was Abby Steiner. Third, Britton Wilson. And then closing it out was Sydney McLaughlin. All four of these women are under 22 years of age. So Sydney McLaughlin, 22. I believe Abby Steiner's 22, then Britton Wilson's 21, and then Talitha Diggs is 19. So it's a young group of women that are ending up coming out here, and they all put together a fantastic performance, each one of them having really solid legs. Sydney McLaughlin closing out in a 47.9 for a split, and so we got out in front and then just kept holding it the entire time. I'm glad that we didn't see, them just going with the fan service and having and just having Alice and Felix on this, because I think there are other women that deserve to be on this, and all four of these women deserve to be on it, because you know, you had Britton Wilson, who was over here splitting 48s in college, Abby Steiner, going back-to-back days. I mean, this woman, this was her 57th race of the year. She ended up doing the 200, the 4x1, and the 4x4. Only one of these women that were on the 4x4 actually ran the open 400, so it just shows the depth that the U.S. has in this 400, that you're able to pull people from the 200 and the 400 meter hurdles in order to run on this relay. So the women looked really good. They pressed, they got out front. It really wasn't a challenge for most of it there. Men's side, similar story. Men for the U.S. ended up getting the win. Your leader was the U.S. It was Michael Norman, Bryce Dedman, Elijah Godwin, and who was the anchor of that? Oh yeah, Champion Allison. So those were your four for the U.S. men. Once again, they just kept pressing, and it really wasn't close for them for the entire time. Elijah Godwin got out really quickly, making up the stagger pretty fast, and then ever since then, that was all she rode. I mean, similar story on the men's side. The U.S. depth is just so crazy on how they can continue to go and go and go, because remember, Rye Benjamin went out, Randolph Ross wasn't able to run in this, and so you have two of the people that are, you know, two of the star-studded legs here, not able to run, and we're still able to come out, get a giant win, and do really, really well. So U.S. Ending up winning both the 4x4 on each side, and so looking at the ending medal count for the U.S. ended up getting 33 medals, 13 of them were gold, which is the most by far. It wasn't even close. They had more gold medals than most countries had regular medal, or just had medals overall, and so I think this is a tale of two different things. One, the U.S. is dominant in track and field, which everyone knew. And then two, the importance of a home track advantage, because home track advantage is a real thing. Not having to travel over 6 hours in any direction is massive. Like, the most anyone would have had to travel is like, what, 6, maybe 7 hours if you're coming from Southern Florida going over to Eugene. So most of these athletes are coming from pretty close. If they're on the right, on the East Coast, or if they're on the West Coast, maybe just a 2-3 hour flight. And that's an important thing when you have other athletes that are coming from, you know, Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, you know, flying all the way from over there, where it's gonna be multiple flights. It's gonna take 10, 12, 13, 20 hours to get here. That's something that is real, because it sucks for the jet lag, and it sucks just being cramped up when you're an elite athlete and you're going up against people that don't have to go up and do that type of stuff. So U.S. showing up, showing out across all fields, whether it be the field events or the sprints, even a little bit of distance love over there. And so really wasn't even a challenge, and glad to see the U.S. bouncing back. Now, the question is, how are we going to be able to do come 2023? Because now we don't have that home track advantage. We saw that at least the sprinting side for the men didn't do as great as we would have liked to in Tokyo. So I'm wondering, what type of energy are we going to bring? Because it's true, many of the athletes in those sprinting events were injured, and so we didn't get to go up against many of the top level guys. You know, Lamont Jacobs wasn't there. We didn't get to see Hansel Parchment. We didn't end up getting to see Andre DeGrasse, and so you didn't get Stephen Gardner. So, you know, many of those sprinting guys weren't able to compete. How are we going to be able to respond when we're not on our home turf and they're back and healthy? So that's going to be an interesting sell to see what's going to happen with the U.S. Last event that was awesome, the men's pole vault. Mondo Duplantis ends up breaking his own world record with a leap of 6.21 meters. And this guy is just unreal. He's not really challenged at all with anyone. He's jumping winning marks like it's opening heights. He's jumping 6 meters like it's easy for him, when it should be a challenge. Everyone else is over here challenging to jump 6 meters. It's a big thing when you do it. And for him, it's just a regular day in the park. And so he's in that elite level of athletes where it's like, this is easy for you, and you're not human. And it's like your dominance is insane. Like him and looking just back at Sydney McLaughlin, like both of these athletes are in rare air of, you know, whenever you step on the track, a world record is expected. And for him, he was able to put that up there, and he had crazy clearance on the world record attempt. It just goes to show, man, this vertical jumps wasn't like the, if this vertical jumps was like horizontal jumps where, you know, you actually have a chance of putting up world record after world record, I would love to see what he could be pushed to jump. But since it's kind of incentivized with just breaking the world record, we're only gonna see him do 1 centimeter at a time, but I would love to see him go after it and putting up, you know, shoot, a 10 centimeter PR and seeing what's gonna happen. But that's just not how track and field kind of works when it comes to the vertical attempts. But overall, really loved the World Championship. I think being there as a fan was a lot of fun. It was nice to see some friends, nice to see some fans as well. Overall, the experience there as a fan was great. I know that the broadcast production could be a little bit better. We're gonna talk about all of that in a future episode, the good, the bad, the ugly from the World Championships. We'll be getting into that in the future. But overall, hope that you guys enjoyed this series. It's been a lot of work, taking a lot of time, but it's been a lot of fun as well. Hope getting to see how the team has grown, not only for the here on YouTube and in the podcasting world, but also over on Instagram, where we've gained over, I think, 1,000 followers just in the last day or so. So it's been great having the new people being a part of that. This is going to be it for us here with 8 Minutes and Eugene. Hope that you enjoyed it. I know it's been a little bit over 8 minutes, but it's a little extra content as well. My name's Colin. Like, comment, subscribe. It's going to be it from us here. Have a good one. Peace.